So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Let's sing. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. On one occasion, when Jesus was sitting at the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of the Lord. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
So may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I got out of bed this morning, I was saying to Rob, my prayer was that this morning wouldn't be too exciting. Well, so far it's been very interesting, not exciting. So you're doing very well if that doesn't sound patronising. Perhaps we should sing this way more often. I think what it does help us to read, I was reflecting as well in the vestry, I think it's probably only possibly the second time that this has happened in my 18 years here. So we've not done too badly, but it reminds us, I think, not to take our musicians for granted. So we thank God for the gifts they bring. And Chris isn't very well this morning. I think she may possibly have caught a bug. So she's unable to be with us and Phil's away. Today's collect, in many ways, says it all, I think. God of glory, the end of our searching, help us to lay aside all that prevents us from seeking your kingdom, to give all that we have to gain the pearl beyond all price through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reference the first reading this morning, which is from the letter to the Hebrews. It's not a bad idea to have some familiarity, at least, with the Old Testament before you start reading the letter to the Hebrews. It was written really for Jews who were used to the practices of the temple in the early-ish first century, and so it's trying to help new Christians and Jewish converts with their Jewish identity and how their traditional understanding of their faith, their lifestyle and practices fits with the new way, the way of following Jesus. It is really setting out to say that Jesus is the completion of what the Old Testament promised. He is the high priest, and there is no better mediator for us with God than Jesus, better even than Abraham and Moses. It's telling us that he's taken on himself a sacrifice for sin, which beats every other kind of sacrifice. He is the one who finally does away with the need to offer sacrifices over and over again, as was the tradition. He's rendered the old ways of getting to God obsolete. So now, and we have found this in the ensuing centuries very difficult to take to heart, and it's been the cause of much bother in the life of the church. Now, because of what happened with Jesus and that once for all and forever sacrifice, it's no longer simply about following religious rules and customs. It is about a once for all generous gift that can't be bettered. And that's really quite an astonishing thought, that we can relate to God in a way that we couldn't before because of Jesus. And therefore, we don't have to earn our way to heaven, actually. And that's a radical and difficult thought to deal with, because we as human beings, actually deep down inside, often don't think we deserve anything. But actually, heaven's already been gifted to us if we open our hearts and our lives to that gift which is in front of our noses. What we have to do on the spiritual journey is learn to inhabit that gift and to grow into it. And that is extraordinarily difficult at times when we're so wrapped up in our own concerns. So a lot about the Christian life is really about becoming familiar with what we already know, actually, deep down inside. We can speak of it as kind of uncovering a treasure, the pearl the pearl beyond price, which is mentioned in the collect. Uncovering this treasure which is already under our feet, we've just failed to notice it, or under our noses, again, failing to notice it. Not about being out there with fancy theological concepts or anything like that, but the God who inhabits our hearts and our lives, and the God who is real in the very ordinary circumstances of those lives. So, not about keeping religious rules, or even moral rules for that matter, although a moral free-for-all helps no one. But the fostering of real relationship to God in Christ. So Jesus is not the one to whom we go for a finger wagging, but the one we go to for an embrace. And I use that word advisedly. We go to Jesus to be embraced by him, embraced and enfolded in his sacred heart of compassion. Jesus knows what it's like, this human business, this business of being a human. So that's Hebrews. Today's gospel has more about this business of seeing the God who's under our noses. And really, there are many things we can take from this story, and there are quite a few wedding feast and other feast-type stories in the Gospels, actually. And Jesus is sometimes using those stories as illustration of God's abundant generosity. Sometimes he's using the stories to tell us about who God is in terms of the way he relates and who he's interested in, although we hope he's interested in everybody. But so they can be quite revealing stories. There are a number of things I think we can take from this story. One of them is that if we are so full of ourselves and our concerns, then there's very little room left for God. It's harder to see God if we think that we should be taking the best place at the feast, as it were, in order to be noticed, because we're spending all our time and energy thinking about that and plotting, as it were, whereas actually we should be thinking about where Jesus would sit in the feast. God is interested in those without power and significance and influence. In fact, the host who thinks like God invites the lame and the poor and those who cannot repay his hospitality. And the host, in acting like that, is acting like God. Jesus knows that God notices the weak and the vulnerable first. But it's also a comment on our discipleship. It makes the point to us that being a disciple can be a costly business. We might not end up where we hoped to be in the Feast of Heaven. In fact, there is an important verse missing in the version that you've got in your notice papers, in your orders of service, which was the first verse of this passage, where the feast is held in the home of a leading teacher, a Pharisee concerned to keep and interpret the rules of law. The room would probably have been arranged in a particular way without place names, as we might encounter a posh do or a wedding feast or whatever it might be. But everyone was nevertheless able to roughly work out where they should be sitting according to their status. They were seated in that way. But Jesus says, go lower. Now, we should therefore be happy to take the lowest seats at the dinner, as long as we're in the company of our host Jesus, because it is likely that when we arrive at the feast, that's where we'll find him sitting too. I think we're also being told, finally, that there are times when we will have to choose between God and other people, even the people we're quite close to sometimes. Choosing others may well get us the honoured place at the feast, but not necessarily in the eyes of God, who may not even notice you and your ambitions at the top table, because he's too busy attending to those with nothing. Amen.